We are here at Kundan Loka, and we are continuing our Bhagavad Gita program. Today we are studying Chapter 12, Bhakti Yoga Devotional Service, and we are studying and picking up from text number 5. This chapter began with a question by Arjuna. Arjuna wanted to know what would be the best way to worship Krishna, personally or impersonally. And Krishna responded that worship of his personal form is far superior. Now in this verse, he will explain why the impersonal way of approaching him is not good nor recommended. Let us begin by invoking the 12-syllable mantras. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chapter 12, Devotional Service, Text Number 5. Please repeat. Klesha Dikataras Tesham Avyakta Sakta Chetasam Avyakta Higatir Dhukam Dehavad Bir Avapyate. Word for word. Klesha, trouble. Adikatara, very much. Tesham, of them. Avyakta, to the unmanifested. Asakta, attached. Chetasam, of those whose minds. Avyakta, toward the unmanifested. He certainly, gati, progress, do come with trouble. Deha vadbihi, by the embodied. Avapyate, is achieved. So that word, deha vadbi, by the embodied, we saw a similar word in chapter 2. And that word indicates the very first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, that there is a difference between the body and the soul. And when we begin the next chapter, chapter 13, Krishna will again pick up on that point. Again, he will make a distinction between the field and the knower of the field, between the individual soul and the body itself. So it is a very important concept. Krishna repeats it, because unless this is understood, there's no question of understanding further or higher spiritual subject matters. Let's now look at that translation. Please repeat. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. So, for those who are embodied, that's everybody. Who's not embodied? Even if someone is a ghost, still they're embodied by a subtle body of mind, intelligence, and ego. So everybody's embodied. So this verse is, you can say, contrasted by Bhagavad Gita chapter 9 verse 2, by the line, susukam kartum avyayam, where Krishna said that this path of Krishna consciousness, devotional service, bhakti yoga, susukam, very easy, very joyfully performed. But notice what Krishna said here, very troublesome, klesha. And many, many years ago, we did a class here in Kundan Loka about the three kleshas, adidaivik, adibhotik, and adiatmik, because Krishna Kumar specifically wanted to know what was that all about. Body and mind gives you trouble. Today, for example, the weather, right? Too hot today. Krishna Kumar said, it feels like India. So that is caused by the devatas. And then there is adibhautika. Other living entities cause us trouble. So we're either being harassed by one, two, or all three of the kleshas. And as a joke, I mentioned some while ago, the fourth klesha, technology. Because we've all had experience. The computer doesn't work, the car doesn't work, the machine doesn't work, right? We're so dependent on technology that when it doesn't work, we're so much in anxiety. And you know, you people from India know, previously in India, there was not so much these conveniences. People were just tolerated. Right. Exactly. I was hoping that I would see you. Because I've been thinking about you all week. I've been thinking about Chaitan all week. And I have to give you extra blessings today. Extra blessings. And Chaitan, you have time, but I am begging that you will sing something today. Because you didn't do the... So I'm begging for your mercy. All right. So very nice. I was thinking about you. I wanted to see you again. Very good. So we're talking about the kleshas, the troubles, this material world. So Krishna says here, this verse, that those who do not take to the personal bhakti devotional path, they're trying to make spiritual advancement klesha. And then the mantra that I always chant at the beginning, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kivalam, Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Katir Anyata. That this chanting, which is the essence of the bhakti path in Kali, the essence of the bhakti path is chanting. So this verse from the Brihan Naradiya Purana says that if you do not take to this chanting, you're not going to make any kind of spiritual progress. So here, what did Krishna say? If you don't want to take to the personal path, that's your choice, but your advancement is going to be troublesome. So, what's human nature? Human nature is, we generally take the easy way out. Generally. Let's say you go to a big, like where my wife works, the Twin Towers. Alright, if you want to walk, you can. But most people, they take the elevator. You can walk if you want, right? Generally, the human nature is you take the easy way. So, the easy way is the bhakti, the devotional way. If you want to take the difficult way, you can. You're allowed to do that. Let's look at Prabhupada's purport. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. And I am proud to announce that we now have 13 devotees from around the world on the internet joining us. Let's say Hari Bol. Okay. Purport. The group of transcendentalists who follow the path of the inconceivable, unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord are called Jnana Yogis. And persons who are in full Krishna consciousness, engaged in devotional service to the Lord, are called Bhakti Yogis. Now, here the difference between the Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga is definitely expressed. The process of Jnana Yoga, although ultimately bringing one to the same goal, is very troublesome, whereas the path of Bhakti Yoga, the process of being in direct service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is easier and is natural for the embodied soul. And the question comes, why is it natural? Lord Chaitanya will answer that for you. Lord Chaitanya will answer, why is it natural? Because you were generated, I don't want to use the word created, but you are, Lord Chaitanya's teaching, when Sanatan Goswami questioned him, Sanatan Goswami said, Lord Chaitanya, people call me pundit, but I don't even know who I am. What kind of pundit am I? So he asked Lord Chaitanya, tell me who I am. Ke ami. And he also said, why are the threefold miseries harassing me? Lord Chaitanya said, Jivera Swarupahoy Krishnera Nitya Das. So naturally, we are Krishna's eternal servant. That is our natural constitutional position. We sometimes say we are created that way, generated that way. But the fact of the matter remains, the soul by nature is Krishna's eternal servant. And Lord Chaitanya also answers this question by saying, and love of Krishna is already there, intrinsic with the soul. It's already there, part and parcel of the soul. So that's why Prabhupada's saying natural. It's natural because it's there. Let's continue. The individual soul is embodied since time immemorial. It is very difficult for him to simply theoretically understand that he is not the body. Therefore, the bhakti yogi accepts the deity of Krishna as worshipable because there is some bodily conception fixed in the mind which can thus be applied. Of course, worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form within the temple is not idol worship. There is evidence in the Vedic literature that worship may be saguna or nirguna, of the Supreme possessing or not possessing attributes. Worship of the deity in the temple is saguna worship, for the Lord is represented by material qualities. But the form of the Lord, though represented by material qualities, such as stone, wood, or oil paint, is not actually material. That is the absolute nature of the Supreme Lord. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of my favorite stories to prove this point, Sakshi Gopal, where the young Brahmin said to the deity, you know, when I was here last, I asked you to be a witness that this elder Brahmin, he promised to give me his young daughter in marriage. Well, he's not keeping his word. So now I am back in front of you. I need you to act as witness. So the deity said, how can I come? I'm just a statue. And the young Brahmin said, if you can talk, you can walk. Let's go. So Sakshigopal said, okay, I'll come, because it was quite a distance. And Sakshigopal said, you must cook for me 1 kilo rice every day. And you cannot look back to see if I'm coming. You'll know that I'm coming because you will hear my, what is it, Nupur? Right? That's the word, Nupur? Ankle. See, I want to learn little by little. Ankle bells. So they traveled many, many miles, kilometers. Just as they got to the outskirts of the town, then he looked back. And then Krishna assumed his deity form. Then he went and got everybody, and the marriage was held because the deity came to bear witness, Sakshi Gopal. Okay, let's continue. A crude example may be given here. We may find some mailboxes on the street, and if we post our letters in those boxes, they will naturally go to their destination without difficulty. But any old box or an imitation which we may find somewhere, but which is not authorized by the post office, will not do the work. Similarly, God has an authorized representation in the deity form, which is called Archa Vigraha. This Archa Vigraha is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. God will accept service through that form. The Lord is omnipotent, all-powerful. Therefore, by His incarnation as Archa Vigraha, He can accept the services of the devotee just to make it convenient for the man in conditioned life. So, sometimes the question is asked, is there an incarnation for Krishna in this age of Kali? And the standard answer is yes. We have the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We have the Hare Krishna movement. But based on this, what we just read, you could give that yes, God is here, but He's here in the deity form. Because Prabhupada is saying right here, the Archa Vigra is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So you could say that yes, Krishna is here in Kali Yuga in the deity. You could give that example based on what we just read. So for a devotee, there is no difficulty in approaching the Supreme immediately and directly. But for those who are following the impersonal way to spiritual realization, the path is difficult. They have to understand the unmanifested representation of the Supreme through such Vedic literatures as the Upanishads. And they have to learn the language, understand the non-perceptual feelings, and realize all these processes. This is not very easy for a common man. A person in Krishna consciousness, engaged in devotional service, simply by the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, simply by offering regulative obeisances unto the deity, simply by hearing the glories of the Lord, and simply by eating the remnants of foodstuffs offered to the Lord, realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very easily. There is no doubt that the impersonalists are unnecessarily taking a troublesome path with the risk of not realizing the absolute truth at the ultimate end. But the personalist, without any risk, trouble, or difficulty, approaches the Supreme Personality directly. A similar passage appears in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is stated there that if one ultimately has to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this surrendering process is called bhakti, but instead takes the trouble to understand what is Brahman and what is not Brahman, and spends his whole life in that way, the result is simply troublesome. I cannot verify definitely, but it would seem to me Prabhupada is referring to a verse of Lord Brahma. After Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys and calves, and then for 1 year Krishna manifested himself as all the cowherd boys and calves, down to the minutest detail for 1 year. Then when Krishna showed Brahma what was going on, and Brahma then offered prayers asking forgiveness. So one of those prayers, Lord Brahma also, I think this is the verse Prabhupada is referring to, that those who don't take to the bhakti path, that those who take to the path of impersonal or mental speculation, they are trying to husk the paddy that already has been husked. Or like sugarcane, he doesn't use the, he uses the idea of a paddy. Husking the paddy, that's, what are you doing? You're just laboring for nothing. You're not going to get anything. Oh, and the other example is the sugarcane juice. Once it's been shot through, and sometimes they do twice to get every little drop, but after that, you're not going to get any juice. It's gone. It's finished. Okay. Therefore, it is advised here that one should not take up this troublesome path of self-realization because there is uncertainty in the ultimate result. Just like with your GPS. Your GPS is supposed to give you the quickest route to your destination. But if you say, I don't want to follow this GPS. I want to go my own way. Okay. Good luck. Especially if it's a place you don't know. Right? But the GPS, if it's good GPS, is going to give you the directions quickest. And I think they give you option. Quickest route, this route. So, you pick the one. A living entity is eternally an individual soul. And if he wants to merge into the spiritual whole, he may accomplish the realization of the eternal and knowledgeable aspects of his original nature. But the blissful portion is not realized. By the grace of some devotee, such a transcendentalist, highly learned in the process of jnana yoga, may come to the point of bhakti yoga or devotional service. At that time, long practice in impersonalism also becomes a source of trouble because he cannot give up the idea. Therefore, an embodied soul is always in difficulty with the unmanifest, both at the time of practice and at the time of realization. Every living soul is partially independent, and one should know for certain that this unmanifested realization is against the nature of a spiritual blissful self. Notice, Prabhupada says, right, every living soul is partially independent. If we were completely independent, then we would be as good as God. This same concept is explained in the prayers of the personified Vedas, which appears in the 10th canto. The prayers of the personified Vedas make this point, that if the living entities were completely independent, then there would be no question of them being under the influence of Maya. There would be. We'd be as good as God. We would be exactly equal to God. But since we're not, therefore, we fall into illusion. We become covered over because we have partial independence. Krishna can do anything he wants. He can defy the laws of nature. He can commit sin. That he can do things that anybody else does it, you're going to hell. Dance with others' wives, kill a woman. If you notice in the Krishna Leela, sometimes Krishna did things that were completely in violation of the Vedas. So Krishna was not a strict, pure Hindu. Because look what he did. Right? In so many instances. But did anything happen to him? Was there any sinful reaction? And what does Shukadeva Goswami answer? The sun. Can the sun become contaminated? Why? It's too powerful. Not only can the sun not become contaminated, but the sun can purify any contaminated thing. That's the sun. It's unique. Not only does it not become contaminated, but by its presence, everything becomes purified. I've given the example. My mother, we didn't have a dryer. So my mother would hang the clothes out outside. And the sun and the wind dried the clothes. And it had this very nice, fresh smell because of the sun and the wind. So the sun is like that. It's so similarly, Krishna, God, is all-powerful. In the Isha Upanishad, what does it say? Antiseptic, prophylactic. It cannot become contaminated, no matter what Krishna does. Even though we may see, oh, Krishna is doing this, this, that. Yeah, he can do it and get away with it. Just like when there's a car chase on the freeway. You've seen it so many times on television. The guy, the criminal, is going 100 miles an hour. So does that mean, and the law is supposed to drive 65, right? So will you accuse the CHP, you cannot go over 65, right? If the criminal is going 120, but then you want the CHP, not, you have to follow the law. Is he going to catch the criminal? No. He has to also go 120 miles to catch the demon, the criminal. Right? Or Prabhupada gives the other example. If you kill somebody here, you go to jail. But in war, the soldier gets medals for killing so many people. So in one instance, it's criminal. In another instance, the same thing, he gets decorated with medals. So Krishna is above the law. That's the meaning, and that's why in the Ram Leela, Ram acted in such a way he never violated, right? He strictly obeyed the law. And this is why, by the way, some people, they don't like Krishna. Because they want Krishna, because I've heard it. I've heard it. I've been questioned on this. No, in somewhere else. They don't like Krishna because they want Krishna to be like Ram. Because Ram did everything according to the Vedas. Ram was pakka Hindu. But Krishna, he did so many things. So they think, Krishna is contaminated. Like some Vaishnavas, they like Bal Krishna. He's pure. But Krishna, when he became teenager... Eh. I'm saying some. Some. I've met people like that. So I'm saying some. Because you know, there are so many different... Yes. All right, the point was made. All right. So every living soul is partially independent. And one should know for certain that this unmanaged realization is against the nature of a spiritual blissful soul. One should not take up this process. For every individual living entity, the process of Krishna consciousness, which entails full engagement in devotional service, is the best way. If one wants to ignore this devotional service, there is the danger of turning to atheism. Thus, the process of centering attention on the unmanifested, the inconceivable, which is beyond the approach of the senses, as already expressed in this verse, should never be encouraged at any time, especially in this age. It is not advised by Lord Krishna. And therefore we have Prabhupada's mantra, Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshacharane. That Prabhupada specifically is coming with his purpose being to drive out all kinds of impersonalism, voidism, and give everyone this beautiful Krishna consciousness. Krishna Kumar has his hand raised. Speak. Okay, we learned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita class, Adi 7, that the followers of Shankaracharya were only doing two things. First of all, how much they were eating? Barely. Number two, so for the impersonalists, no rajma. No big feast at Shekhar's house. Okay? Alright, now what is their spiritual practice? Read Vedanta Sutra and do meditation. That's their whole day.
And do
meditate that soham, that I am the Supreme. They meditate on the aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutra as taught by Shankaracharya. What's the idea? I am God. I am Supreme. And try to make all these varieties null and void. By use of the mind and philosophy, you're in this state that there is no duality. Everything is one. One with the Supreme. What is that shloka? Eko nasti. You know that one.
Eko brahma dutiya nasti.
Ah. Isn't that also Shankaracharya? That's from the Vedanta Sutra. Okay. So that's their whole path. And that's why they criticize Lord Chaitanya, saying, what is this guy doing? He's supposed to be doing what we do. What's he doing? He's with the Shudras, chanting and dancing like some fanatic sentimentalist. He's not real, he's not bona fide. And that's why when that Brahmin went to Prakashananda Saraswati, Prakashananda Saraswati, don't go and see that Chaitanya, because you will go to hell. You will fall down, because he's not bona fide. Stop, don't go to that Chaitanya. And then that Brahmin went to Lord Chaitanya, Why does he not like you? What? As far as I can see, I really like you. You're wonderful. How come he did? And then that Brahmin said, how come he said Chaitanya three times, but he couldn't say Krishna? Because Lord Chaitanya's name was Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So he asked Lord Chaitanya, how come Prakashananda only said Chaitanya? He didn't say... And Lord Chaitanya said, because he is offender. And anyone who is an offender, they cannot chant Krishna's, they cannot come from their mouth. If they're an offender at Krishna's lotus feet, so, are you all chanting? Is Krishna's name coming from your mouth? Then you're not an offender. Welcome. Group hug. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. All right, I would like